But as Jacob Berry says, if you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus and forget Him, you've lost everything. You'll probably hear some stuff like this today. Kyle walked up to his teacher's desk holding a report card with a big red F on it. He said, if I were you, I'd change this while you still can. And the teacher said, well, why is that? He said, because my dad told me that if I brought home one more failing report card, someone was going to get in big trouble. By now, the graduates, you've been in school now for 2,160 days. You've spent 12,960 hours in class. That translates into 777,600 minutes. So far, you've lived, most of you, probably 18 years. You've been around 216 months. You've been breathing 936 weeks. You've been going through the motions for 6,552 days. You've been here 157,248 hours. You've been taking up space 9,434,880 minutes. You've slept 52,500 hours, probably Justin, probably a lot more than that. Am I right? Okay, good. You've watched TV 12,173 hours, and you've spent 7,488 hours eating. And don't none of you look at me and say that's more. But mostly probably pizza is what you've been eating most of that time. So you'll probably hear some stuff like that today. But I want to tell you this. I've learned some things since I've graduated. Graduated in 93 from Minford High School. And so next year I've been out of school for 15 years, and that seems to be almost an impossibility. But a lot of people here I went to school with, and me and Nate hung around a lot together, and we had a lot of fun. But I've learned some things. John Adams said this, there are two types of education. One's to teach us how to make a living, the other how to live. Amen. And I've learned from school how to make a living. But I've learned from God how to live.
Amen.
First thing I've learned since I've graduated is life is not all about me. Everything you'll find this morning, I'm taking out of Romans chapter 8 because that's my favorite chapter in the Bible. If you'll turn there, we're going to be reading different scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 says this. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. First thing I've learned is life is not all about me. Minford, compared to other schools, is a smaller school. But we had a lot of fun and we were very close to a lot of the teachers. A lot of the teachers I was friends with. But when I got out of school and graduated, I found out I was no longer a friend to my teachers. I was an enemy. Most of the enemies were, I was the enemy to the teacher, it seems like. I was just another number when I got to college. I learned things changed once I got out of high school. Life wasn't about me anymore. The importance that was placed upon me in high school, when I got some awards, and I was in the National Honor Society and some things like that, I found out very quickly nobody cared when I got to college. Life wasn't about me anymore. The teachers, they made over me and took care of me in high school. Miss Patterson was nice to me. Miss Fetters, they were all nice to me. But when I got to college, it was different. Life wasn't about me anymore. And I found out that if I tried to please myself, tried to please the flesh, that I was going to fail. Because life wasn't about me. Second thing I learned was failure was not the end, it was just the beginning. Verse 4 says this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I realize that even though I failed the Lord many, many times, and I may have failed in this world. If I continued walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, God was going to take care of me. But there were some things that I had to learn. And I had to learn from experience. My great-grandpa Oscar Baer always said this, experience is the best teacher. And I found out many times that I've had to go through some things, and God allowed me to go through some things and fail miserably just to show that I needed Him more than I'd ever needed Him before. For instance, one time when I started preaching right out of high school. In fact, in 94 is when I started preaching, September the 18th. And I was asked to preach a lot of youth revivals, a lot of youth meetings, as a lot of young preachers are. And so I went and I preached, and the Lord placed a sermon on my heart. And I began to preach. But during that sermon, I got out of the will of God and preached something in the flesh. I made some statements that were terribly wrong. I talked about a young girl, and I talked about some situations in her life that was terribly wrong. I did not have the facts, but because of the flesh, I went ahead and said them. Little did I know that her family was present in the service. After the service, the mother called me at the radio station where I worked at. And basically, she wasn't mean, but she told me that I was very wrong. And I apologized to her. But I realized the first lesson. When you're preaching the Word of God, or when you're living for the Lord, do not walk after the flesh. Because you'll fail. You'll fail. I probably will never be able to preach at that church again. And you know what? I don't blame them. Because I messed up. It wasn't God. There was people say that night, but it wasn't because of me. It was because of God. And God taught me a valuable lesson that day. Brian, if you walk after your own flesh and your own ability, you're going to fail. But walk after the Spirit. And I ask for forgiveness every day. I ask for forgiveness. Lord, don't let me mess up again. And if you continue walking after the Spirit will not lead you into places where you're going to fail. Walk after God. Walk in the Bible. Walk in there every day of your life, because when you walk in the Bible, you get more of Him. And when you walk in the Spirit, He'll lead you to better things. Don't walk after the flesh. You'll fail. The failure isn't the end, folks. It's just the beginning. Learn to wipe yourself off. Learn to, where would I have done, where would I have been if I would have quit on that day? Just a few months after I began preaching in 94, where would I have been if I'd quit? And I wanted to. There's been many times since that I've wanted to quit. But God said, no, I've got a work for you to do. Walk after me. Walk after the Spirit. Don't sulk in your own abilities, but rejoice in the power of God that I can give you. Number three, the third thing I learned. I will not be a professional golfer. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's all I ever wanted to do. Play golf. I got pretty good. Played every day. Got pretty good. A handicap, if you know what that is, got down to 1.4. Which zero is professional, so I got pretty good. Had all intentions, Tom, of going down to Florida and getting my PGA card and doing everything like that. But I soon found out I wasn't going to be a professional golfer. And I appreciate, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with golf. I still play. I love it. I enjoy it. It's a great hobby. It's a great pastime. And we all play sports and things like that. But the sooner you realize you probably won't be a professional NBA player, the quicker you can get somewhere with God. You say, Brian, you don't know how good I am. Well, let me just show you what statistics say. From high school athletics to professionals, there's a 0.03 chance that you'll be a professional football player. 0.03. Basketball is a 0.05% chance that you'll be a professional. Baseball, you have a better chance. 0.5%. You have a lot better chance of making it in college, and I appreciate that, but to make it onto the pros, which is everybody's admiration, everybody's desire, more than likely you probably won't be. And the quicker you realize that, the quicker you'll probably be better at sports. And you'll enjoy it a lot more better, and you'll have fun. And also God can use you. See, the desires of your heart change once you put off the things of the world. and what you get more of God. And that's what I've learned since graduation. The things of the world are fun and recreation is fun, but it's not what life's all about. It isn't. And the quicker I learned that I wasn't going to be a professional golfer, the quicker God could use me. The fourth thing I learned, opportunities are not always opportunities. Verse 14 says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God has allowed me because of the family origins that I have and also because of the relationships I have and contacts I've had. I've had opportunities to do things. For instance, whenever I was first married and first started preaching, I thought my dream and I thought the desire of my heart, Tom, back then was to sing full time for a professional gospel group. And that's what I wanted to do. I love to sing. In 96, I believe it was, I went to Stamps Baxter School of Music in Nashville, Tennessee, at Belmont University, and spent a summer down there learning music theory, learning shape notes, and the old-fashioned style of Southern gospel. That's what I wanted to do. I hung around with all the big-time people, you know, like Ben Spear and Brock Spear. Bill Gaither was there. I mean, I rubbed elbows with him. And his hair is very ugly. I'll just tell you that. Bill Gaither's hair. It's terrible. You think with the millions of dollars he has, he can get a better haircut. But I don't know. Somebody shout amen right there. But the cathedrals, that was my dream, Howard. And you know what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? It's the Lord's work, isn't it? I mean, I'm going to be going and ministering to people, and God's given me a talent to sing, so isn't that what you want me to do? Or surely. And the opportunity came. Spring Jubilee, the Woolbers were looking for someone to sing with them. Why don't you try out after church? Okay. My wife was pregnant with my daughter, Abby, and I went up there on stage and started singing Inside the Gate. They said, "Hey, we'll give you a call." I thought, man, this is it. I'm going to move to Carthage, Tennessee. I'm going to leave my job. I'm going to go on the road. This is my dream. You ever have one of those feelings when you have your desire, but then down in the pit of your stomach, you know something ain't right? And God showed me that this opportunity, even though it was an opportunity that seemed good and it was the Lord's work, it wasn't the best opportunity. So God sent through my path. He sent a couple by the name of Mike and Teresa Blanton. And God allowed me, and through prayer, He allowed me to sing with them and travel across this country just to show me that that's not what I wanted to do. I got to meet some good people, and I got to fulfill the desire of traveling across the country just to realize that that opportunity that I had was not what God wanted me to do. He said, "Brian, I've given you a talent to sing, but I've called you to preach." And when God calls you to do something, that's exactly what He wants you to do. You can't get away from it. And every opportunity that comes in your life, if it's not meant to glorify God or please God, if it's meant to draw you away from the calling He's placed on your life, my friend, it's not an opportunity. As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Number five, the fifth thing I've learned is one constant is change. That's what I've learned since graduation. One constant is change. It says we are to be conformed to His image. Conformed speaks of a change. It's more than a change. It's being conformed. That means God has me in the palm of His hand, conformed me into His likeness and into His image. And see, since I've graduated, I went back and looked at some of the pictures of the graduation parties last night. And back in 93 and 94, and some of these kids, man, they were just babies. And that's when I graduated, and it made me feel older than what I really felt like. And it was amazing, just some of these, the hairstyle that Brent had and how funny he looked. It was funny. It was great. I had a great laugh. And Kathy's big hair. And that was the style back then. But I've noticed since then, things change. Styles change. Kids, go ahead and keep the clothes you got now, because if you can fit in them when you get older, they'll come back in style. I promise. I would never thought I'd wear some of the stuff my dad did. And here, you know, it's around. It's back. But I've learned things change, Tom. They do. People change. Churches change. The only thing really that's constant is change. But you know what never changes? God. I'm the Lord, and I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm telling you, don't change. Just be conformed. Don't change, be conformed. That means don't change with what the world wants you to do or what your desires want you to do, but be conformed to His image, because He will change you and mold you into what He wants you to be. But you got to stay in His hands. Number six, the thing I've learned is off-brand food items taste pretty good. I have an asterisk here, except for Heinz ketchup and Jif peanut butter. There will never come a substitute for those two things. I will spend the extra money to get this. So what did you say that for, Brian? Because I found out that the things I thought I wanted and the things I thought I had to have, I learned since graduation, I don't really have to have them. I mean, the materialistic things that I thought I would want, I found out I really didn't want them. And the things that I've accumulated over the years now are just in a box downstairs in my mom's basement, marked Brian stuff. Collecting dust. My mom and dad had to build shelves just to put all this junk that we've accumulated over the years. And I appreciate, you know, that people keep things, and that's fine. We should. But really, do we really need all the things that we think we need? No. You know, once I learned that I was out on my own, I had to pay my own bills, and, you know, the food that mom and dad had, Mom never did buy anything but Conn's beef hot dogs. But I found out that Kroger brand's pretty good. You know, when you can't pay $4 for a pack of hot dogs, you know. I guess I'll just put a bunch of Heinz ketchup on it. It'll be all right. Douse it and catch it. But I found out I really don't need a lot of things. I found out that the big jobs and the big paychecks really don't need all that, as long as I have the Lord and I have my family. We tend to learn some things since graduation. You'll learn this. Over time, you'll find out that the things you really need aren't the things you thought you was going to need right here. Number seven. Sometimes it takes 12 years to go 25 miles. Sometimes it takes 12 years to go 25 miles. That's the distance from Beachport to Rubyville. If you'd asked me when I graduated where I was going to be in 12 or 13 years, if I would have said, if you would have told me assistant pastor at Rubyville, I wouldn't have believed you. Because, see, I had in my mind, and I think my parents had in their mind, and once I started preaching, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to raise up Brian out of this church and all of his family's here, and one of these days he'll take over. And that would have been okay. But, see, God had to take me through some things to get me to here. 12 years. Look at where, and I'll try to go as quickly as possible, but from Shawnee State University, I was accepted at High State University in their graphic design program. I met my wife, so the graphic design program at High State University, it was going. I said, I'm staying in Shawnee. I want to be close to Heather. So I stayed here, majored in painting for 2 years. They didn't like my paintings, so... Let's maybe try something else. So I went and got the mechanical engineering degree, the associate degree. So I spent 4 years in college and got a 2-year degree. That's the way it happened. I'm sorry, but that's the way it happened. So, and Dad paid for it. Wow, praise the Lord. But so then I went right from college. I went to Fifth Third Bank in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was in the architectural department and drew banks and ATMs and learned some things there. But then God switched me to Hillsboro, Ohio, and I got a little closer to home, and I was property manager over all the Southern Ohio properties. And that was during the takeover of U.S. Bank and all. Fifth Third was doing all that down in Portsmouth and Star Bank. You remember all that. And so I was in the midst of all that, and then something happened during there, and I won't go into all the details, but the Lord led me to an architectural firm in Hillsboro, Ohio, just a few blocks over from the bank. And so I went there, and then we was there for a while. I moved from Peebles to Hillsboro and lived there for a while, and then God said, I want you to leave the architectural department and go to South Shore, Kentucky, and be a Southern Gospel DJ. Oh, that was hard to do. That was hard to do. Dad and Mom didn't want me to. That's the first decision I ever had to make without going against what my parents wanted me to do. But I knew what God wanted me to do. So I said, I have to do it. So I drove from South Shore to Hillsboro for about 6 or 7 months. And then we moved in with my in-laws. Everybody needs to do that before they go to heaven. Just to appreciate how good heaven is. I'm just kidding about that. But it was, we had fun. We had fun. It was fun. But I lived there for about 6 months, and then we moved to McDermott, Ohio. That's where we live at today. And God took me from the Southern Gospel radio station to evangelistic outreach, and I was there for 4 years or so. And God said, I want you to leave Beachport and go to Rivieville. I thought I was done. I had no idea what God had planned for me here. He just said, go. And it's going on 3 years since we've been coming here. But see, I've said all that to say this. If God would have brought me to Rubyville 12 years ago, I would have been ineffective. I wouldn't have been able to minister like I can today. God had to take me to all those places around the map to learn about computers, to learn about graphic design, to learn about ministering to people with needs, to go through paying my own bills, and to go through praying for food on my table. I had to go through all those things to get to where I am today. And sometimes it'll take a long time to get you where He wants you to go. But just trust Him. So why does that happen, Brian? Because the Bible says in verse 28 of chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. They will work for good, but you got to be called to the will of God. Hallelujah. The 8th thing I've learned. I'm in class. I'm just not in school. I'm learning stuff every day. The moment you quit learning, the moment you'll die. Here's what one writer said, speaking to graduates. You've earned some respect. You've sharpened your edge. But don't fly off the handle in pride. Rather, whet the edge and keep your edge in life. Many adults lose their cutting edge by not remaining learners, growing complacent, and ceasing to go forward. The moment you stop learning, the moment you'll die. I learn stuff every day. I try to get new knowledge every day. My brain's losing more than I'm receiving. But I'm trying to learn. And you can learn from watching people. You can learn from reading your Bible. There's all different places you can never stop learning. Number 9, and I'm trying to hurry. A baby can change your life. A baby can change your life. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. My daughter was born. She'll be 8 years old this September. The night my wife went in the hospital, I was singing at the Southern Ohio camp meeting. And I left after the singing and went to the hospital, and she was in labor. And Abby was born the next day, September the 15th. And you think, You say a baby can't change your life that much. Oh, yes, it does. You really learn it's not about you anymore. How's your baby? That's the first thing people. How's your baby? How's your baby? They don't ask how you're doing. They don't really care. When your mom calls, how's the babies? Don't you want to know about me? No, how's the babies doing? A baby can change your life. But I found out, man, we went through a lot of stuff, and Abby was sick, and she had to have surgery just a few months old. But I found out they change your life for the better. I wouldn't know where I would be without my kids. Man, they've taught me a lot. They've taught me patience. Somebody's been handling Alex. You can say amen right there. They taught me about unconditional love. They've taught me that I'm my dad. The things I said, I'll never say that to my kids. I'm saying it to my kids. But I also found out that there's another baby that can change your life too. And as great as my kids are, there was never a greater baby than Jesus Christ. Because see, God knew that He was going to have to send His Son, and He did it where everyone can relate. He sent Him as a baby. He didn't send Him as a king, even though He was a king. He didn't send Him as a prophet, even though He was a prophet. But He sent Him as a baby. Look how much joy a baby can bring into a family. Look how much joy a baby can bring into a room. Whenever they walk into the room, they just smile. Everyone starts to smile. I've never met anyone that doesn't like to see a baby playing and having fun. There's something about a baby that can change your life. Boy, what a difference Jesus has made in my life. And you still have to accept Him today as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes that came and died just for you. A baby can change your life. And lastly, number 10. Thing I've learned, and this is the most important thing I've learned since high school, since I've graduated. Life is all about Him. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth it? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Life's not about me. It's not about you. But it's all about Jesus. And the quicker the graduates and the quicker us that have already graduated and been out of school for years, the quicker we learn that life is all about Him. The quicker we learn that He does things in His time, in His way, for His glory. The quicker we can get somewhere with God. And He may lead you all different types of directions. And He may lead you to things, the desires that you have right now. Your desires may change because the Bible says He wouldn't give you what your heart desires. It's not what Psalm 37:4 says. But He did say that He would give you the desires of your heart. That means if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you put Him first and you realize that life is all about Him, He'll give you the right desires. And the right desire is to delight yourself in the Lord. To praise Him when things are going bad. To praise Him when things are going good. But no matter what direction He takes you, glorify Him. Praise Him and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I don't have to understand. I trust You. Hallelujah. I trust You. It's all about Him. It's all about serving Him. It's all about what He wants for you. Not about what you want Him to do for you. It's about what He wants you to do for Him. And when you realize that, you'll succeed. And that's the real measure of success. Success is not driven on dollar signs and plaques on the wall that have doctor on them or PhD. No, that's all well and good. I'm not down on education. We all need that. But that's not what success is. Success is exactly what Jacob Berry preached last Tuesday at our Spring Jubilee. Being in the center of God's will. You will be successful. You know who I want to pattern my life after? Rosie. I want to pattern my life after Floyd Nestor. That's who I want to succeed. That's how I want to be successful in life. You say, Brian, what's successful about them? The fruits of their labor. You can look at them, and even though they're sick, even though they don't feel good, they're here every service they can be. They're faithful. They've been faithful over the years. That's what success is. And should the Lord tarry His coming, and I go by the way of the grave, I want someone to be able to look at me and say, Brian did all he could for the Lord. It don't matter what I've done in this life. No one's going to remember my golf game when I die. No one's going to remember where I lived. No one's going to remember the house I had. But they're all going to remember what you did for the Lord. That's where success is. Because life is all about Him. Today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, oh, it would be a good day to do it. Because He said today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Well, He's speaking to you. Some of you have learned a lot of things. Some of you realize that life is just like a grain of mustard seed. It's just like a vapor. Can't believe 15 years since I've been out of school. It just flew by like that. And I've failed God many times. But I've learned to trust Him. Lord, forgive me. The Bible says, I'd rather that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. And I'm glad I have an advocate this morning, don't you? Because we'd all be in hell if we didn't. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, oh, it'd be a good day to come. I want you to bow your heads.